Introduction, the truth about growing a pool company. In 2022, I jumped into the pool industry with zero experience. Not a little experience, not some, none. I didn't come from construction. I hadn't worked for another pool company. I couldn't have told you the difference between pH and alkalinity if my life depended on it. I came in cold. What I did have was a fantastic business partner, Renee, a history of building and selling companies in other industries, and a growing desire to build something real and local. After selling some online and accounting companies, we wanted to take on a business that was physical, repeatable, profitable, and rooted in the real world. So we did what we've always done. We ran the numbers, created our filters, researched every home services vertical you could name. And over, the pool industry kept rising to the top. Recurring revenue, solid profit margins, highly fragmented industry, no dominant national brand, room for professionalization, brand, and scale. From the outside, it looked like the perfect business to grow. But what we didn't see, and what many outsiders still miss, is this. The pool industry is one of the hardest home services businesses to scale well. The business is a beast, and that's not a bad thing. If you're reading this, you probably already know what I'm about to say. The pool business isn't like HVAC, pest control, or roofing. It's not just about service. It's about chemistry and water. It's unpredictable weather patterns. It's heavy equipment. And it's untrained techs trying to troubleshoot complex systems on the fly. And it's emotional. Unlike a roof or a foundation, your customers don't just look at your work. They climb into it. There's no national standard, no licensing in most states, no universally accepted playbook. Every pool is different. Every week brings a new surprise. And the whole system, routes, teams, tools, is often a patchwork of trial, error, and workarounds. And yet, somehow, this industry works because of people like you. You get up early, you lift the gallons of chlorine in brutal heat, you rebuild pumps and driveways and take real pride in the simple miracle of clean water and a happy client. You keep the system running, and most of the time, you don't get credit where you deserve. That's why I wrote this book. Why this book exists. This isn't about how to clean pools. You already know how to do that. This is a book about how to build something around it, a real business. One that grows with intention. One that doesn't just rely on your hustle, but creates structure, stability, and long-term freedom. One that, if you want, can eventually run without you. But before we get into hiring, scaling, and systems, we need to confront a truth that most owners don't talk about. You don't have a growth problem, you have a clarity problem. After speaking with over 1,000 pool company owners across the US and reviewing hundreds of financials, org charts, and back-end systems, I've come to recognize the same patterns, regardless of company size. Whether they're servicing 30 pools or managing 3,000, the pain almost always comes down to one of two things. Number one, they never took time to define what success actually looks like for them. Number two, they're stuck in the wrong stage of business and don't know how to move forward. So this book isn't just about business growth. It's about clarity, direction, and building something that actually fits your life. Let's make sure you don't grow by accident. Let's build with a purpose. This book is split into two parts, and that matters. Part one, the owner's intent. This is where most owners get it wrong. They think the problem is growth, but the real problem is they don't know what they want. They're building without a blueprint. Part one helps you define what success looks like for you. In this part, you'll write your owner's intent and align your business with your life so that you can stop chasing every idea and start building something that you're proud of. Part two, the five stages of pool business success. This is the roadmap. It's the model we built after studying real companies, from solo operators to multi-million dollar enterprises. It shows you where you are, what's holding you back, and what to do next. Here's the breakdown of the five stages. Number one, the solo poolpreneur. You're doing it all. Cleaning pools, taking calls, hauling chemicals, managing every detail. Number two, the small team. You've hired a couple of techs or an admin. You're still in the field, but you're juggling more hats. Number three, the steady operation. You're out of the field, focused on sales and growth, but systems are shaky and leadership is thin. Number four, the scaled company. You're leading, not doing. You have a real team. The business runs, but it's still demanding. Number five, the systematic enterprise. You've built a company that runs without you. You can grow, sell, license, or pass it down. Each stage comes with its own problems, its own people issues, and its own critical decisions. The goal of this book is to help you make those decisions with confidence and clarity. Don't skip part one. You might be tempted to skip ahead to part two. That's where we get tactical. The how-to you can act on right away. But here's the thing. If you jump in without first doing the work in part one, you'll risk building a business that looks right on paper but feels wrong in practice. Alignment matters. Without it, growth can actually pull you further away from the life and the business that you want. That's when burnout creeps in. When you find yourself running a big operation but feeling disconnected, overworked, and unsatisfied. So we begin where it really counts, with your vision, your values, and your definition of success. Only once that foundation is clear do we move into systems and stages. Quick note before we go any further. If you've been in this industry for a while, you've probably had someone try to fix your business without ever stepping a foot on a route. That's not what this book is about. These stages aren't rules. They're road signs. They're not gospel. They're guidelines. Every business is different. Every owner has their own goals, constraints, and definition of success. What works for one company might not work for another, and that's okay. Nothing in this book is meant to tell you what to do. It's meant to help you see more clearly what you want to do and give you a framework to get there with less guesswork. Use what fits, leave what doesn't. You're the one in the driver's seat. Part one, the owner's intent. Chapter one, what is success really? We're going to talk about how to grow your business, how to get out of the field, how to scale if you want to, and how to do it with structure instead of stress. But before we get into any of that, I need to ask you something important. What does success actually look like for you? Not the version you'd post on Instagram, not the image your competitor is chasing, not what some business book told you to want. I mean your version, your life, your definition. Because until you define that clearly and honestly, nothing else in the book will matter. In fact, trying to grow without that clarity might actually make your problems worse. Growth without direction is a trap. After speaking with thousands of pool company owners from one truck operators and eight-figure enterprises, I can tell you the most common issue isn't a lack of effort or ambition. It's that many people don't actually love what they've built. They're tired, frustrated, overwhelmed. And when I ask why they started the business in the first place, the answer is almost always a shrug and something like, I just wanted to be my own boss. Or I figured I could make more money doing it myself. Or I wanted more time with my family. But the irony, now they're working more hours than ever, making tighter margins, and family time is virtually non-existent. That's what happens when you chase an abstract idea of success without a clear definition of what it means for you. You start stacking accounts, you hire a few techs, you get a second truck, you add a repair guy, then suddenly you're managing a Frankenstein business that grew by default, not by design. You never meant to build it this way. It just happened. And here's the kicker. Growth doesn't make you happy. It makes you more of what you already are. If you're unorganized, growth will scale your chaos. If you're overwhelmed, growth will accelerate your burnout. If you're unclear, growth will take you further from where you want to be. That's why we start with your owner's intent. This is your personal definition of success. It's not a mission statement or a slogan, or something you put on a website. It's a personal compass that guides you towards building the business that you want to build. Chapter two, before you build, define the destination. Imagine a new pool tech comes into the truck for their first day, turns to their supervisor and asks, "Where are we headed?" And the supervisor shrugs, "I don't know. Let's just drive around and figure it out." That'd be ridiculous. You'd never run a route that way. And yet, that's exactly how most business owners run their company. They launch the business, take on work, pick up accounts, hire a buddy when things get too busy, and just keep driving without ever stopping to set the destination. Most of the time, they're reacting, saying yes to whoever calls, hiring whoever seems decent, putting out today's fires without thinking about tomorrow's direction. They're working themselves to exhaustion, not because they're lazy or aimless, but because they never stop to ask what they were actually building. My intent, entering the pool industry. When Renee and I started our pool business, we were crystal clear. We wanted to build the largest pool cleaning company in Atlanta, then partner with private equity to take the concept nationwide. That single sentence shaped every decision: where we spent money, who we hired, how we priced, what services we offered, and when we got out of the field. We didn't stumble our way into scale, we aimed for it. It's also important to keep in mind that your owner's intent can and should evolve. You can revise it, refine it, and make it more specific as you grow. But you need a draft now. You need a version of the future you're aiming at, because the decisions you make today are either taking you toward that vision or away from it. It's not about having a perfect plan. It's about having a direction. Chapter 3, building a business that serves the life you want. Most people don't start a pool company because they love managing payroll, leading meetings, and dealing with customer service complaints. They start because they're good at the work, cleaning, fixing, or building pools, and figure they might as well do it for themselves. Why not earn more by cutting out the middleman? It's a perfectly logical step, and for a while, it works. You begin with 10 or 15 account, word spreads, a few more customers come in, before long, you're getting calls after hours, so you hire someone to help. Then comes a second truck, more work, more overhead. Now you're not just cleaning pools, you're managing people, training on the fly, and squeezing in admin at night. You're working harder than ever, maybe making a bit more money, but life feels tighter, not freer. The business isn't a pathway to freedom, it's something you're stuck inside. Too often, business owners get so focused on growing the company that they forget to ask whether it's growing in the direction that actually serves them. Instead of designing the business to fit their life, they end up living by the demands of the business, reacting to problems, saying yes to everything, and losing track of why they started in the first place. Because ambition without alignment creates stress, not success. One vision doesn't fit all. Picture two owners. Owner A wants to keep things simple, run a tight team of 2 to 3 techs, make $200,000 a year, be home by 3 p.m., work 4 days a week, and stay lean, no interest in scaling. Owner B wants to grow aggressively, build out to 10 plus trucks, hire leadership, install systems, and eventually exit to private equity or license the brand. Now imagine both of them reading the same business book about how to build a high-growth empire. If owner A tries to follow the roadmap, he's going to end up overwhelmed, running a business that looks impressive from the outside, but feels completely misaligned with the life he actually wanted. Because ambition without alignment creates stress, not success. This is where owner's intent becomes essential. When you're clear on your definition of success, you can build something that fits, something that works for your goals, for your family, for your lifestyle, not someone else's. Growth reveals the gaps. Here's something no one tells you early on. Growth doesn't solve your problems. It just puts them under a microscope. If you're disorganized at 30 pools, you'll be even more disorganized at 300. If managing one tech overwhelms you, managing 5 will break you. If your pricing is messy now, scaling will just multiply your losses. Growth amplifies whatever systems or lack of systems you've already built. It doesn't turn chaos into clarity. It turns a small fire into a wildfire. So before we dive into strategy, marketing, hiring, or anything else in the book, you need to step back and ask yourself a few uncomfortable but necessary questions. Is the business I'm building aligned with the life I actually want? Is the structure serving me, or am I constantly serving it? Is the company a vehicle for freedom, or is it a trap I accidentally created? The power of clarity. What I want for you isn't just growth, it's confidence. I want you to wake up knowing where your business is headed. I want you to recognize where opportunities fit your vision and you feel empowered to say no to the ones that don't. I want you to build a company that not only runs well, but actually feels good to run. That starts with clarity, not a vague goal or a motivational speaker, but a real written statement about what you want this business to become and how it should support the life you're trying to live. That's your owner's intent. It's the next step in the journey, and we'll talk through exactly how to write it in the next chapter. But understand this, if you skip that work, the rest of the book won't help you. You'll chase someone else's success, you'll grow in the wrong direction, you'll put the pedal down without realizing the car is pointed at the wall. Let's make sure that does not happen. Let's define your destination so that you can build a business that's actually worth driving toward. Chapter 4, How to Write Your Owner's Intent, Step by Step. Your owner's intent isn't just a motivational exercise. It's a blueprint. It should ground your decisions, filter out distractions, and guide how you build the business from this point forward. Getting clarity doesn't need to be complicated, but it does require honesty. Here's how to get there. Step 1, define what you want. Before anything else, get quiet and ask yourself questions that actually matter. How big do I want this company to get? Do I see myself in the field long term, or do I eventually want to step out? Am I aiming for a tight, profitable operation, or do I want to build and lead a larger team? Is this a business I plan to sell, pass down, or keep for the long haul? What am I really after? Freedom, flexibility, income, legacy, or a mix of all four? Don't answer based on what sounds impressive. Be honest with yourself about what's right for you. Maybe your vision looks like this. I want to run a lean, two-route business that pays me $150,000 a year, gives me Fridays off, and gets me home by 3 p.m. Or I want to grow to 10 trucks, hire a GM to run operations, and focus on expanding into other markets. Or even, I want to build a company that creates great jobs in my community, serves 500 families, and lasts for the next 20 years. There's no wrong version of success, but you can't build toward it until you name it. Step 2, get clear on what you don't want. Sometimes it's easier to define your path by identifying the things you want to avoid. Think back to the moments in your work that drained you, frustrated you, and pulled you out of alignment. Write those down too. I don't want to be on call every weekend. I don't want to work 12-hour days forever. I don't want to manage a big team if I don't have to. I don't want to sell if it means sacrificing quality. These aren't complaints, they're boundaries. Knowing what you're not willing to build is just as important as knowing what you are. Together, your goals and your guardrails will shape a business that actually fits you. Step 3, anchor it to your life. Now zoom out. Ask yourself, what kind of life is this business supposed to support? What do I want my days to look like? How much time do I want to spend with my family? What do I want to be free to do? Where do I want to be financially and personally 5 or 10 years from now? Be specific. Be unapologetic. If you want to build something massive and exit in 5 years, say that. If you want to stay small, stress-free, and profitable, say that too. If your dream is summers in the mountains and more time with your kids, name it. Your business should serve your life, not the other way around. And the only way to make that happen is to design it with your life in mind. Step 4, put it in writing. It's not enough to think you know what you want. You have to write it down. Until it's written, it's just a foggy idea, easy to ignore and easy to forget. Start with a simple framework. I want to build a pool company that, fill in the blank. So that I can, fill in the blank. I'm willing to, fill in the blank, to make that happen. I'm not willing to, fill in the blank. Or use prompts like, I'm building this business so that the business should allow me to. I want to grow to a point where when I succeed, I want to feel right until it clicks. When you read it back and feel a sense of relief, like something's just got unstuck, you'll know that you found it. That's your owner's intent. It's your compass from this point forward. This is your compass. Once you've written your owner's intent, it becomes your North Star. Use it to decide which customers to take on and which customers to say no to. Choose what roles to hire for next. Decide whether you should scale or slow down. Build pricing that supports your vision, not just covers cost. If you feel lost, burnout, or unsure, go back to it, because clarity doesn't come from the next podcast or the next strategy or the next marketing trick. Clarity comes from knowing where you're going. Chapter 5, My Owner's Intent, So You Know Where I Stand. I'm not approaching this book as a consultant or theorist. I'm a business owner like you. Over the years, I've built companies that worked and a few that didn't. I've experienced both the satisfaction of getting it right and the frustration of getting lost along the way. I've made money, made mistakes, and at times questioned whether I was building something sustainable or just surviving the next wave of chaos. Through it all, the one practice that consistently helped me move forward with more clarity and intention is this: defining exactly what I want the business to do for my life. That's what owner's intent is about, and that's why it's the foundation of everything that follows. My owner's intent and why you need yours. In 2022, after building and selling a few online and accounting businesses, my business partner, Renee, and I decided it was time to look for something different. We weren't looking for another digital venture. We wanted something grounded, something real, recurring, and rooted in the local community. So we made a list of what mattered most to us. The next business needed to offer steady, repeatable revenue. It had to be in a fragmented industry, one without a dominant player, where great service and strong branding could create a real edge. Most importantly, it had to be scalable. We didn't want to just trade our time for income. We wanted to build a system, a team, and long-term value. After exploring a range of home services categories, the pool industry kept rising to the top. It checked all of our boxes: recurring work, high customer expectations, and a serious opportunity to stand out through professionalism and operational discipline. But what looked promising on paper quickly proved more complex in practice. This isn't just another home service. It's chemistry, it's weather, it's logistics, it's labor. It's managing expensive equipment in unpredictable outdoor environments. It's deeply personal too, because customers don't just see the work, they physically step into it. We realized fast that this was going to take more than a smart spreadsheet and a good brand. We needed clarity, and we had it. Our intent from day one. From the start, Renee and I were aligned on where we were headed. We wanted to build the largest pool cleaning company in Atlanta and then partner with private equity to take the concept nationwide. That single sentence became our compass. It shaped every decision: who we hired and what we spent, where we focused, and which distractions we avoided. We weren't trying to become the biggest builder. We weren't chasing awards. We weren't trying to win the popularity contest in the industry. We were building something scalable, repeatable, and investable. Every opportunity, every challenge, every idea had to answer a simple question. Does this move us closer to that vision? Should we run this marketing campaign only if it attracts the kind of customers we can serve at scale? Like, should we acquire this company only if it strengthens our position in Atlanta? Should we offer this new service only if it can be delivered consistently, profitably, and across multiple locations? That's the value of owner's intent. It takes the guesswork out of decision-making. It cuts through the noise. It keeps you from chasing ideas that don't belong in the business you actually want to build. But this isn't about copying mine. I'm not sharing our intent because you should adopt it. In fact, if you're in a different season of life, it would probably be a mistake to follow what we're doing. I'm sharing it because you need clarity too. Your own version, not somebody else's. Your owner's intent, might sound completely different. It might be like, I want to build a boutique pool company with 2 to 3 techs, making a great living and have total control over my schedule. Or it might be, I want to create a 7-figure business that provides meaningful jobs in my community and supports my family for decades. Or I want to keep things small and simple, work with great clients and avoid unnecessary stress. Or finally, it might be something like, I want to grow aggressively, sell in the next 3 years and use that capital to launch my next venture. Whatever your goal is, name it, write it, own it, because the more specific and honest you are, the easier it becomes to make decisions and avoid the ones that would pull you off track. Keep coming back to it. Your owner's intent isn't a one-time exercise. It's a tool that you'll use again and again. I revisit mine at least quarterly. Whenever I'm making a hiring decision, considering a new investment, feeling tempted to chase something shiny, or just feeling off and disconnected from the work, I go back to the page. I remind myself what we're building and why. It keeps me centered, focused, and clear. And it'll do the same for you if you're willing to put in the time to define what really matters. Let's make sure the business you're building is one you actually want to own. That starts with knowing exactly what it's for. Chapter 6, write your owner's intent. If you've made it this far, it's clear you're not just trying to grow a business. You're trying to build one that works for your life. That brings us to the most important step in this first section, not because it's complicated or time consuming, but because it requires you to pause and to be honest with yourself. It's time to write your owner's intent. Not just think about it, not just jot down a few vague goals, but actually write down a clear personal definition of what you want this business to become and how it should serve your life. Once you do, you'll have something more valuable than a mission statement or a revenue goal. You'll have a decision-making filter, a way to say yes with confidence and no without guilt. You'll have clarity. So let's walk through how to do that. The owner's intent worksheet. Use this to put words to what you're really building. Now, in the written copy of the book, there is a worksheet that I would highly recommend that you go through. It's called the owner's intent worksheet. There's a couple of different steps that you can go through. But just high level, first step is to define what you want. You define what you want in your business. You've got to get specific and let go of what sounds impressive and focus on what feels right for you. Questions to think about are like, how big do I want this business to get? Do I want to stay in the field, like actually doing the work and physically being out there, or eventually step out? Okay, by when? Why do I want to be in the field, or why do I want to not be in the field? Some people think I shouldn't be in the field. Well, if you like being in the field, stay in the field, right? Do I want a lean, profitable operation or a larger team with growth potential? Meaning, am I willing to take less profits in the short term because I'm going to be reinvesting that into hiring team members and growing and doing marketing and sales and all of that so that I have a larger business down the road that doesn't necessarily need me in it to run? Or do I just want to keep things small, easy, and profitable where you know all the customers and everything's super simple, easy, and it doesn't mean that you don't work hard. It just means that everything is at a smaller scale, meaning that you can have control over it. What do you want? Which one would you pick? Or would you pick something in the middle? And you've got to think through that. Is this something I want to keep forever, sell, or pass on? Think through this. At some point, this business will not have you. You either are going to sell it, pass it on, or you're going to die, right? There's going to be some exit out of this business. Why not go ahead and think through, this is what I would determine that exit look like. In doing that, it gives you power in today in all of your decision-making. Another question to ask, what do I value most? Time, freedom, money, impact, or legacy? Again, it could be some of them, but most of us tend to have one or two of those that would jump out the most. You may say, I don't care about impact. I just want to make as much money as possible. Great. You don't have to feel bad about that. Or you may say legacy matters to you, that this is a second generation business and you want to make sure the third generation runs it. Great. That's awesome. But the key is to pick one. What's the most important to you? Is it your time? Is it the freedom to do the things you want to do? Is that money, impact, legacy? Those are some questions to think through when it comes to defining what you want. Step 2, get clear on what you don't want. Define your boundaries and what you aren't looking for. This can include statements like, I don't want to be on call every weekend. I don't want to work 12-hour days forever. I don't want to manage a big team. I don't want to grow just for the sake of growth. Asking yourself what you don't want will oftentimes be a great place to even start first, because it will then clarify, well, these are all the big list of everything I don't want. And you can get that small list of, here's what I do want. And when you know what you do want, then you can craft that down to something, this powerful decision-making tool called your owner's intent. So what do you not want for your life as it's related to this business? Write the list. Think about it. What do you not like? What drains you? What is creating burnout in your life? And ask yourself those questions and write that down. Step three, connect it to your life. You've got to think this through of like, okay, from an owner's intent perspective, I got to define what I want. I got to get clear on what I don't want and then make sure it's connected to your life. So you got to zoom out and ask yourself, what kind of life do I want this business to support? And then you can draw out your life of, if you want to run the business remotely or you want to live in the town or whatever it is, you can write it out. What should my day-to-day look like? Do you want to wake up early and go in early and be done by noon every day? Do you want to work 8 to 5? Do you not want to work on Fridays? What is it? What does that look like? What's your actual day-to-day? Designing that in advance to say, this is why I'm building this business. This is why I'm hiring this person, because it actually frees me up to have the life and the days that I want to have. How much time do I want with my family or to myself, with your friends or whatever? Or, you know, another great question is, what do I want the business to eventually make possible for me? And maybe that's it. Maybe it's like, it would make possible one day if I sold this business that I could live out my dream or start a orphanage or go do whatever it is that you want to do with your life. What can it make possible? That's the exercise. You heard it, but you need to get the written version so you can write it down. Step four, write your statement. Now bring it all together in a short, clear statement. Using this structure can help. I want to build a pool company that, and then you fill in the blank, so that I can blank, I am willing to fill in the blank. And there you list, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up to make that happen? But I'm not willing to, and list the things that you're not willing to give up, you're not willing to sacrifice. Or use one of these prompts to get started. I'm building this business so that. Or it could be, I want to grow to the point where, fill in the blank. Or it could be, the business should allow me to, or I never want to be stuck doing, and you can describe what you don't want to be stuck doing. Or when I succeed, I want to feel, what feelings do you want to have? When you reach that mountaintop, what the fulfillment and the purpose going to feel like? Write until it feels right. You'll know when you've landed on it, when it feels like a deep exhale, like something that you've been trying to name finally clicked into place. Make it useful. Once you've written it, keep it close. This is a working tool, not a forgotten file. Print it out. Post it in your office. Save it to your phone or computer. Review it monthly or whenever you feel overwhelmed or off track. Talk about it with your spouse, your partner, or team. Use it to guide every big decision: hiring, pricing, service offerings, marketing, expansion. When you're tempted to add something shiny or feel pulled in too many directions, the owner's intent brings you back to center. But don't wait for perfect. Your owner's intent isn't permanent. It's not a contract, it's a compass. It should evolve as you grow, learn, and change. What matters is that you have a version of it today so that you can start building with direction. If you're waiting to get through the busy season or find the perfect words, you'll never write it down. Don't aim for polished, aim for honest. Part two, the five stages of pool business success. Before we dive into growth strategies, we need to get clear on where you are right now. Because if you don't know what stage you're in, you'll either try to solve the wrong problem or chase someone else's version of success. That's why so many pool business owners end up overwhelmed. They're trying to implement the wrong system for their stage, or worse, copying companies that are years ahead of them. What follows is a framework we've developed over the past few years, the five stages of pool business success. This model was built from the ground up through deep dive operational reviews of hundreds of pool companies, interviews and conversations with over 1,000 pool business owners, ongoing data partnership with Skimmer, the largest pool software company in the U.S., financial reviews of pool companies across the country as part of my role post-acquisition. I've seen the numbers up close, analyzed the trends, and worked with companies as they grow, evolve, and sometimes stall. This framework isn't a generic business lifecycle. It's rooted in real experience of pool pros just like you and designed to give you a clear path forward no matter your current stage. Chapter 7, the five stages of pool business success. This model applies to service-driven companies, those focused on cleaning, maintenance, and repair. One important caveat, if your business includes major construction, renovations, or new builds, this chart drastically changes. Builders operate on a different timeline, risk profile, and cash cycle. This model is tailored specifically for the service side of the industry. Here's the breakdown. There's five different stages, and each stage has a revenue size that it normally hits. It doesn't mean that it's exactly in the revenue size, so don't get caught up on that. Again, this is a model of what we see across the board. It doesn't mean that it exactly fits perfectly for every single pool company. You're going to see team size, about the average team size for that revenue size, a common blocker, usually what's stalling the business out at that point, and what percentage of the businesses. So our smaller businesses, we call the solo poolpreneur. And the solopreneur is usually $0 to $150,000 in annual revenue, team size of one. The common blocker here is time. You just don't have the time. You're doing all of the work. And the majority of people are in this stage. 76% of pool pros have a business in this size. Then your business, as it grows to a small team. 150 to 350,000 in annual revenue. And the team usually goes from 2 to 4 people in size. The common blocker here usually is sales, not enough time to sell to get to the next level because now you're managing people and teams and the business got more complex than when it was just you doing it by yourself. And 9% of the businesses are in this size. Then there's steady operation. That's from $350,000 in revenue to $1 million in revenue. The team size usually is 5 to 10. And this is when marketing and service scalability become the common blocker, meaning that you've got to go beyond just referrals oftentimes, and you've got to use real professional marketing and branding and all of that to grow. And then also be able to scale your service beyond you managing everything and knowing all of the customers. The percent of businesses and pool pros that are in this stage is 8%. Then we go to what we call a scaled company. That's $1 million to $3 million in annual revenue. Team size usually is 11 to 20. The common blocker here becomes hiring, meaning you start having to hire leaders, not doers. It's not just people that do the work. It's people that run the different departments in business. And only 6% of pool businesses make it to this level. And then lastly is the systematic enterprise. That's from $3 to $10 million in revenue. Team size usually looks like 21 to 50. And the common blocker here is strategy, making the right bets at the right times. Only 1% of the businesses ever reach this, but we will address it. But that's the chart that you would see if you had a written copy of the book, and it's good to look at and ask yourself the question, where am I? Most companies get stuck because they're trying to solve challenges that belong to a different stage. A $1.5 million company still might operate like a one-man shop, while a $500,000 company with great systems might outperform businesses twice its size. This framework helps you align where you are with what actually works. Chapter 8, the solopreneur. If you're reading this and thinking, yep, that's me, you're not alone. In fact, 76% of all pool companies in the U.S. fall into this stage. You wake up early, load your truck, clean every pool, handle every customer call, fix what you can, invoice at night, and maybe post on social media when you remember. You are the business. Some days that feels empowering. Other days it feels like a trap. First, respect where you are. Let's be clear. This stage takes guts. You're not just a guy in a truck. You're running an entire company by yourself. You've chosen this path because you wanted freedom, control, and satisfaction of working on your terms. And in many ways, you've achieved that. But the question is, do you want to stay here? Two mindsets at this stage. the happy craftsman. You've built a solid, dependable business with 30 to 40 loyal customers. You take pride in your work and you deliver service the big companies can't match. You value quality, relationships, and autonomy. If that's your definition of success, great. Stay there and optimize it. If you're starting to feel worn down, limited, or unsure of how to grow without burning out, it might be time for a shift. The frustrated hustler. You've tried to expand, hired someone, added routes, raised prices, and hit setbacks. You're tired of doing it all, but you're unsure of what to change. You're not failing, you're just overwhelmed. Most owners in this stage don't lack drive, they lack a roadmap. The real issue, you're the bottleneck. Everything runs through you: service, sales, customer communication, scheduling, billing. If you're out sick, things stop. If your truck breaks, work stalls. That's not a business, that's a job with a truck and a tax ID. Growth means building a system that works even when you take a day off. The hidden risk, resentment. There's a quiet frustration that can creep in here. You might catch yourself resenting larger companies or dismissing growth altogether, but sometimes that resentment masks something deeper, a desire for change, mixed with fear about what it takes. You don't have to grow, but if you want more time, freedom, or income, something has to give. The shift is to buy your time back. If you're ready to grow, the path starts by reclaiming your time. That doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen at all unless you make some key moves. Step one, raise your prices. Most solopreneurs charge too little, but price must be based on value and cost, not comfort. A 15 to 20% increase may feel risky, but it's often what creates the margin to hire help or reduce hours. Step two, hire admin help first. Before adding another tech, bringing on someone to handle admin either part-time or full-time so they can manage scheduling, invoicing, customer communication, ordering supplies, etc., this clears space for you to focus on growth instead of the details. Step three, systematize with Skimmer. If you're still running your business from memory or post-it notes, you're limiting your growth. Set up Skimmer or hire the admin person to set up Skimmer to manage the routes, the service logs, invoicing, customer reminders, and all of those other things. Let the system do the remembering so you can do the leading. Signs you're ready to grow. You might be ready to go to the next stage if you're working more than 50 hours a week, you haven't taken a real vacation in a year, you're nearing burnout, revenue has plateaued, you feel stuck even though you're working hard. Growth doesn't mean hiring a massive team tomorrow. It means starting the shift toward a business that can run without depending on you for everything. If that sounds like the future you want, then let's move to stage two. Chapter nine, the small team. You've hired somebody, maybe two. You're out of the truck a few days a week. For the first time, you're not the only one holding it all together. That's a big step. But here's the part no one tells you. Growth doesn't just bring relief, it brings new responsibilities and a whole new kind of stress. Letting go sounds great, but in practice, it's hard. You're not just offloading tasks, you're giving up control. You're trusting others to deliver the standard you've spent years building. And when they fall short, it hits so hard. You've got help, but you're still in the middle. At this stage, your company might look like this. A couple loyal texts, a spouse or friend helping with admin, basic software tools in place, and you still doing the hard jobs, fielding customer calls and cleaning up mistakes. You're not solo anymore, but you're also not free. You're wearing every hat: owner, sales lead, service tech, admin, manager. You're making more money, but it doesn't feel like it. Our story, relief meets reality. When we reached this stage, it was both exciting and unnerving. We'd just acquired a small route, 13 accounts, and it came with a seasoned tech. That tech trained us. One of us literally rode in the truck, learning from someone who'd been doing it for years. Eventually, we stepped back from the field, and for a brief moment, we breathed. But that moment quickly filled with doubt. Will they show up today? Will they do it right? What if we lose that customer? A mentor gave us a piece of advice that stuck. Every next level brings new devils. this stage isn't about arriving. It's about learning to lead while things are still messy. Why most pool companies get stuck here? Roughly 85% of the pool businesses never grow beyond this stage. And it's not due from lack of ambition. It's about control. At this level, most owners still give customers their personal number, micromanage instead of delegate, jump back into the field at the first sign of trouble, build habits, not systems. They end up overworked, stressed, and unaware that they've become the ceiling to their own company. The real role of a small team owner. To move forward, you need to make a shift from doing everything to focusing on what drives growth. That means pulling three big levers. Lever number one, make recruiting a habit. People will leave. No matter how great your culture is, turnover happens. The key is to stay ahead of it. Post job ads regularly, not just when you're desperate. Interview consistently and keep a bench of potential hires at all time. Think of recruiting like sales. It's a pipeline. And if it ever dries up, so does your momentum. Lever number two, turn sales into a system. Sales isn't just about finding new customers. It's about unlocking more value from the ones you already have. Start by walking equipment pads regularly, recommending upgrades before problems arise, teaching techs to spot and suggest improvements, and give them bonuses for that, offering referral bonuses and tracking results. You're not selling aggressively, you're helping proactively. That shift builds trust and revenue. Lever number three, build a real training program. Most techs fail because they're thrown in without guidance. Training isn't a luxury, it's how you scale. You've got to start with shadowing days, clear SOPs, standard operating procedures, and checklist, weekly coaching sessions, and a defined path for growth. Well-trained techs make fewer mistakes, stay longer, and give you more room to lead. Now, let's get practical. This is where many owners stall or scale. Here's how to move forward. Number one, make recruiting part of your week. You need to be posting job ads every month, no matter what. Interviewing two candidates weekly, even if you're not hiring, so that you have that list. Keep a short list of solid maybe hires. Number two, build a monthly upsell routine. Walk the equipment pads and snap photos. Script. Chapter 10, the steady operation. You've made it past survival mode. Congratulations. You've built a team, handed off the day-to-day, and you're finally seeing the benefits of real systems. Welcome to the steady operation stage, where the business can run without you being in every detail. Take a minute, that's a huge accomplishment. But with new capability comes a new challenge, sustaining and strengthening what you built. Why this stage is so rare? Fewer than one in four pool companies ever make it here. Most either stay small by choice or stall out by trying to grow without systems. But if you reach this point, it means you've done something most never do. You've turned a hustle into an operation, and that's worth celebrating. What makes this stage great? Here's what changes. You can step away without the business falling apart now. Your team feels like a tight-knit group. Your customers are happy and complaints are fewer. There's momentum and room to breathe. You're still involved, but not essential to every fire. And maybe for the first time, you're starting to enjoy the business. But there's a catch. The habits that got you here won't take you further. You need defined roles and responsibilities. Clear SOPs, meaning standard operating procedures. Not just, we've always done it this way. You're going to need meeting rhythms, reporting on all different types of data, and alignment of your team. A leadership mindset, not just a manager's mindset. Without this structure, the machine starts to shake. Routes slip through the cracks. Communication breaks down. Staff get frustrated and quit. Customers notice the inconsistency. You're not fixing pools anymore, you're building people. That's the new job. What to focus on? To grow past this stage or even to stabilize it, you need to focus on three key areas. Number one, promote a field leader. You can't be everyone's point person. Hire or promote someone to train new techs, handle issues in the field, liaison with the office, maintain service standards. This gives you leverage and keeps the business running cleanly. Number two, treat marketing like a department. At this level, referrals and word of mouth aren't enough. You need local SEO and online reputation management, paid ads with Google and Meta, a structured referral program, tools that measure ROI. Marketing isn't a maybe, it's the engine that drives steady growth. Number three, create a culture of communication. You're not a crew anymore, you're a company. And companies need rhythm, weekly team meetings, a visible org chart, shared goals and priorities, real feedback loops. Culture is no longer what happens by accident, it's what you lead intentionally. In this stage, you stop doing everything yourself and you start building a team that does it well without you. It's challenging, but it's also one of the most rewarding transitions in your journey. Ready for stage four? Let's keep going. Chapter 11, The Scaled Company. Reaching stage four isn't common. Staying here and thriving is even more rare. If you've made it to the scaled company stage, you've earned your spot. You've survived the early grind, built a real team, put systems in place, and created something that doesn't fall apart when you step away for a week. That alone makes you stand out. At this level, the work shifts. You're not in reaction mode anymore. You've seen most of the common problems and you've built the muscle to handle them. Now the focus is refinement. From chaos to capability. In the earlier stages, everything ran through you. Every decision, every issue, every fix. Now you have people, systems, a team that gets things done. Even when you're not watching every move. It's not perfect, but it works. And more importantly, it works without you being in the center of it all. This is what real leverage feels like. Why this is a sweet spot. There's a reason many owners choose to stay here at this level. The chaos has calmed down. You've got financial stability. Your days are more predictable. You can take vacations without guilt. You can focus on the big picture goals instead of daily tasks. It's one of the most satisfying places to operate from. When we hit this stage, the business finally felt fun. We had enough revenue and team strength to relax into the role of true leadership. No more scrambling, no more fires every 5 minutes. We weren't just running a business, we were shaping its future. Real profit, real freedom. This is the first stage where true profitability kicks in. Say your company brings in $1.5 million per year. If 60% of that is from recurring cleaning, 40% from repair, and you're running a 15% net margin, you're clearing around $250,000 a year. And you're not earning it with your hands anymore. You're earning it through your systems. You've built something that pays you back. But there's a ceiling. This is a great place to be. But if you ever want to sell the business, expand into new markets, or build something that outlasts you, here's a catch. Your company may still revolve around you. Even at $2 million plus in revenue, most pool companies are still owner dependent. You have solid people, but you probably don't have a true leadership team in place yet. And that puts limits on your options. If you disappear for too long, things start to slip. Culture, quality, accountability. And if you ever want to sell, that dependence knocks down your valuation. So the next evolution isn't about growing revenue, it's about growing leaders. What got you here won't get you there. Up until now, you've hired good people, team players who care. But to reach the next level, you will need specialists, people who've done this before. You need leaders. You're going to need a financial controller who owns the books, the reporting, the billing, the forecasting. You need an HR leader who standardizes hiring, onboarding, culture, and compliance. You're going to need an operations director who can run the field, optimize logistics, and hold the team accountable. This is where your job changes again. You become the chief recruiter of leaders, the one who brings in the next generation of thinkers, operators, and builders. Your job isn't to do, it's to build the team who can do better than you. The cost, short-term sacrifice, long-term scale. Hiring this kind of talent isn't cheap. And in the short term, it may mean taking home less money, but it's the only real path to scale. If you want a business that can run without you, grow without chaos, sell at a premium, expand into other cities, you'll need a leadership team in place, not just helpers, not just hard workers, not just managers, actual leaders. The shift is what separates good companies from great ones. Let's get practical. Here's how to take the leap from solid, stable business to something built to last. Number one, identify what you still own. Take the inventory. What is still tied to you? What task can't happen unless you're involved? What would fall apart if you took a month off? Now, highlight the strategic roles, finance, operations, HR, and flag the ones that need real leadership. That's your next org chart. We'll share a tool to help you map this out clearly. Number two, start hiring like a grown-up company. This is where you move beyond gut instinct. You write real job descriptions. You build a hiring process. You search for people who've led teams, built systems, and delivered results. You may need recruiters, referrals, higher salaries. That's the cost of real talent, but it's also the bridge to a business that runs without you. We'll include samples, sample postings, and interview guides for these key roles. Number three, revisit your owner's intent. Now that you've arrived here, pause. Do you want to stay in the sweet spot, earning well, working less, and keeping things tight? Or do you want to build an asset that one day could sell for multiple seven figures, operate across cities, and outlast your involvement? Neither path is wrong, but it's time to decide, because what you choose here sets the course for everything that comes next. Final thought. Reaching stage four means you've led well, you've worked hard, you've built something real. You can stay here, or you can take the leap to stage five. But if you choose to grow, know this, your future isn't built by doing more. It's built by building better people, better systems, and better leadership around you. Let's get into what it looks like in the final stage, the systematized enterprise. Chapter 12, the systematized enterprise. If you've made it to this stage, you've done what 99% of pool company owners never do. You've built a real business, not just a service, not just a job, a machine that runs with or without you. And now you're standing at a unique crossroads. You can keep operating, keep optimizing, and keep enjoying the life you've built, or you can build something bigger, something that scales beyond your city, something you could one day sell for millions or pass down as a legacy. But to do that, you need more than just great service and solid systems. You need leadership, vision, precision, and above all, distance. Because at this level, you are no longer the operator, you are the architect. The goal, a business that works without you. At stage five, the mission is clear. Build a company that runs well without your daily involvement. This doesn't mean disappearing completely. It means elevating your role to focus only on the highest leverage moves. Long-term strategy, mergers and acquisitions, market expansion, executive development, protecting vision and values. If the business can thrive while you take a six-week sabbatical, you're doing it right. What makes this stage different? At this level, everything changes again. The way you think, hire, lead, and measure success all shifts. You're no longer able to think about how to fill the schedule. You're thinking about how to enter new markets, how to build durable culture at scale, how to create systems that protect quality as you grow, how to increase enterprise value for a potential exit. This is where the business ownership becomes business stewardship, real leadership teams. The foundation of a systematized company is your leadership team. Not just managers, not just helpers, leaders who lead other leaders. You'll need to fully empower a controller or CFO who owns every dollar, forecasting, budgeting, reporting. You'll need a strong ops director or chief operations officer who runs the day-to-day across field and administration and the different functions. You're going to need an HR or head of people operations who build scalable hiring, training, and culture systems. You're going to need a marketing director or a chief marketing officer who turns growth into a predictable machine. These are no longer nice-to-haves. They are required for scale. You're going to need metrics that matter. In the earlier stage, you could watch revenue, then profit, then customer retention. At this stage, the focus shifts to what's called EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, CAC and LTV, customer acquisition cost versus lifetime value, team productivity per route or tech, revenue per department, location, or division, bench strength, your readiness to promote from within, because now you're not just building for today, you're building for valuation, the exit conversation. Whether or not you plan to sell, you should build like you will. Why? Because businesses built for acquisition are also the ones built to last. Clean books, solid margins, defined leadership roles, process-driven delivery, culture that can scale, clear brand differentiation. You may never sell, but if you build as if you will, you'll create optionality and leverage. When the day comes that someone knocks with a serious offer, you'll be ready. And if that day never comes, you still own an exceptional company that runs beautifully. The trade-offs at this level. Stage five comes with freedom, but also a new kind of way. You're responsible for more people, more complexity, more pressure to protect what you've built. You're not the hero anymore. Your team is. Your job becomes setting the direction, aligning the organization, and making the hard calls no one else can make. It's less glory, more guidance, and if done well, it's the most rewarding version of the whole journey. Now, let's get practical. Here's how to move with purpose at this level. Number one, build a succession plan. Ask yourself, if you disappeared for 90 days, who runs what? Who's ready for promotion and who needs support? What roles have no backup? What's my true plan for retirement, sale, or legacy? Put it in writing, review it annually. This is how you protect what you've built. Number two, clarify your three-year vision. Where's the business going? More cities, more trucks, higher profit, exit or transfer, write it out. Share it with your leadership team. Help your leadership team discover this vision together. Make it part of a quarterly rhythm. Number three, treat culture like a system. At this size, culture doesn't happen by accident. You'll need rituals, language, and clear behaviors that get rewarded. Run quarterly all-hands meetings. Develop internal leadership training. Celebrate wins and values lived out. Hire for alignment, not just skill. Strong culture scales everything else. Final thought. Stage five isn't about being the biggest. It's about being the most transferable, valuable, and sustainable version of your company. It's not the right goal for everyone. But if it's your goal, go all in, because the pool industry is evolving. And the companies that win in the next decade won't be the ones with the flashiest marketing or the most trucks. They'll be the ones that built intentionally, lead wisely, and create businesses that work with or without them. If that's the path you want, you now have the roadmap. Let's finish strong together in this final chapter. Final chapter. Where do we go from here? You made it. You've read through every stage from the solo poolpreneur to systematized enterprise. And if you've gotten this far, it means you're serious, not just about growing a pool company, but about building something intentional, sustainable, and yours. Now comes the part no one can do for you. You have to decide where you're going and why. Revisit your owner's intent. Back in part one, we talked about owner's intent, your personal definition of success. Now that you've seen the full roadmap, it's time to return to it. Each stage has its own rewards. Each stage comes with trade-offs. There's no right answer, only the one that fits you. You've seen that some stages offer more freedom, others bring more complexity. Some increase profit, others increase pressure. Some require bigger teams, others require better systems. If you don't clarify your intent, growth will become guesswork. And even if you succeed by outside standards, you may not feel successful at all. You have to choose. Let's make it plain one last time. Want to stay one-person shop with a loyal route and a flexible life? Perfect. Want to build a $5 million brand with a full leadership team in multiple markets? Great. Want to sell in 3 years or pass the business to your kids in 20 years? Amazing. Want to build a profitable, low-stress company that supports your family and gives your Fridays off? Beautiful. They're all valid, but they all require different choices. So choose, not once, but often. Make space to regularly ask yourself, is this still what I want? Because your business should serve your life, not the other way around.